A heavy oak door slams shut, sealing a trembling commoner inside a moonlit chamber. Shadows stretch across the freezing stone floor as a low, guttural growl vibrates through the room. Tonight, a kingdom's darkest secret claims his terrified bride, and nothing will ever be the same for her again. The year was 1342, and the bitingly through the impoverished village of Oakhaven, nestled deep within the Northumbrian borders. Here, survival was a daily war against starvation and the unforgiving frost. Adelaide Mercer knew this war intimately. The daughter of the village's destitute baker, Arthur Mercer, she possessed a quiet, enduring beauty, hands roughened by kneading coarse dough, but eyes the color of summer honey, burning with a fierce, quiet resilience. Oakhaven was governed by Lord Godfrey, a cruel and ambitious nobleman who taxed the villagers into the ground. But even Lord Godfrey bowed to a higher, far more terrifying power. Beyond the jagged peaks of the Black Mountains lay the Northern Keep, the domain of King Alistair Vane. The history books recorded the Vane lineage as ruthless conquerors, but whispered tavern rumors spoke of something far more sinister. They called him the Lycan King. It was said that the men of the Vane bloodline were not entirely human, bound to a centuries-old curse that demanded a human bride every generation to maintain the fragile peace between the beasts of the north and the realm of men. The tithe is due, the king rides south. The warning spread through Oakhaven like wildfire. On a bleak Tuesday morning, the piercing sound of hunting horns shattered the village's exhausted silence. Villagers were dragged from their homes, forced into the muddy, snow-covered square by Lord Godfrey's armed guards. Adelaide stood beside her frail father, her heart hammering against her ribs like a trapped bird. Through the mist emerged the royal procession. They rode massive, obsidian black war horses that snorted plumes of white steam into the frigid air. At the center rode King Alistair Vane. He was a terrifying monument of a man. Towering and broad-shouldered, he was draped in thick furs and heavy dark armor. His face was ruggedly handsome but etched with a brutal, predatory coldness. His eyes, a startling, luminous amber, swept over the terrified villagers. There was a raw, primal energy radiating from him that made the very air feel suffocatingly heavy. Lord Godfrey, eager to secure a political alliance and elevate his own status, pushed his eldest daughter, Lady Beatrice, forward. Beatrice was dripping in velvet and pearls, a stark contrast to the starving peasants around her. "Your Majesty," Godfrey simpered, bowing so low his chin nearly touched the freezing mud. "Oakhaven offers its most prized jewel. My daughter, Beatrice, is bred for nobility, ready to serve as your queen and honor the ancient pact." King Alistair did not even look at Beatrice. He dismounted, his heavy boots crunching against the frost. He possessed a terrifying grace, moving less like a king and more like an apex predator stalking its territory. He closed his eyes for a fraction of a second, his head tilting slightly as if catching a scent on the wind. He walked straight past the trembling Lord Godfrey. He walked past the weeping Beatrice. He waded into the crowd of terrified commoners, the sea of people parting desperately to avoid his touch. He stopped directly in front of Adelaide. The silence in the square was absolute. Adelaide froze, her breath catching in her throat as the giant of a man looked down at her. Up close, his amber eyes were mesmerizing, glowing with an unnatural, untamed fire. She could smell the scent of him, pine needles, wood smoke, and something dangerous and metallic. "What is your name?" Alistair's voice was a deep, resonant rumble that vibrated through the ground beneath her feet. "Adelaide," she whispered, her voice barely audible over the wind. "Adelaide Mercer." Alistair reached out, a massive leather-clad finger tilting her chin up. A spark of something unreadable flashed in his eyes. "This one," King Alistair commanded, not looking back at Lord Godfrey. "She is the bride." Chaos erupted. Arthur Mercer threw himself forward, grabbing the king's heavy cloak. "No, please, Your Grace. She is all I have. Take me, take my life, but spare my daughter." A royal guard stepped forward, raising his heavy iron gauntlet to strike the old man down. "Stop!" Adelaide screamed, throwing herself over her father to shield him. She glared up at the Lycan King, her fear briefly eclipsed by a blazing fury. "I will go, leave him be. I will honor the tithe." Alistair stared at her, his expression unreadable, but a faint, almost imperceptible smirk tugged at the corner of his mouth. "A peasant," Lord Godfrey sputtered, outraged and humiliated. "My king, she is nothing but a baker's brat. She has nothing to offer the Northern Keep." Alistair turned his head slowly, his amber eyes locking on to the nobleman. A low, terrifying sound, halfway between a scoff and a growl, escaped his throat. "She has more courage in her little finger than your entire bloodline possesses, Godfrey," Alistair said coldly. He turned back to his guards. "Put her on my horse. We ride for the keep immediately." There were no goodbyes. Within moments, Adelaide was hoisted onto the back of the massive black stallion, wrapped in a heavy fur blanket, and spirited away from the only home she had ever known. She watched her father weeping in the mud until the village of Oakhaven disappeared behind the dense, snow-covered tree line. She was now the property of the Lycan King. The journey to the Northern Keep was a grueling, agonizing blur of biting cold and terrifying darkness. Adelaide rode in silence, pressed against the imposing chest of King Alistair. He did not speak to her, but she could feel the unnatural, intense heat radiating from his body, keeping the worst of the winter chill at bay. When the imposing silhouette of Caer Leon Castle finally loomed into view, Adelaide felt her stomach plummet. The fortress was a jagged crown of black stone thrusting into the stormy sky, surrounded by sheer cliffs and a roaring, icy river. It looked less like a palace and more like a gargantuan prison. Upon arrival, the king handed her off to a cadre of silent, efficient servants. Adelaide was whisked away through winding, torch-lit stone corridors. The reality of her situation was jarring. The bath, she was scrubbed in a tub of steaming, rose-scented water, stripping away the dirt and flour of her old life. The dress, she was forced into a gown of exquisite midnight blue silk, laced tightly and adorned with silver embroidery. The chamber, she was escorted to the highest tower in the royal wing, a massive opulent bedroom dominated by a roaring fireplace and a heavy four-poster bed draped in velvet. Despite the luxurious treatment, she felt exactly like what she was, a lamb being prepared for the slaughter. The servants left without a word, locking the heavy iron-bound door from the outside. Adelaide was trapped. She paced the floor, her heart racing as she looked out the towering arched window. The full moon was rising, casting an eerie, pale glow over the snow-covered mountains. The legends echoed in her mind. They turn into beasts under the full moon. They tear their brides apart. Suddenly, the lock clicked. The heavy door swung open. King Alistair stepped into the room. He had discarded his heavy armor, wearing only a loose white linen shirt and dark trousers. Without the armor, he looked even more massive, his muscles coiled with tension. His amber eyes were fixed entirely on her, blazing with a terrifying intensity. Adelaide backed away instinctively, until her spine hit the cold glass of the window. She was trembling so violently that the silk of her gown rustled aloud. Alistair took a step forward, closing the distance between them with predatory grace. The air in the room seemed to vanish. He stopped mere inches from her, leaning down until she could feel his breath against her neck. "You're mine tonight," the Lycan King growled, the sound vibrating deep in his chest, raw and demanding. Adelaide squeezed her eyes shut, waiting for the tearing of fangs, waiting for the beast to strike. But the strike never came. Instead, Alistair violently grabbed her waist and hurled her to the floor. Crash! A split second later, the massive arched window exploded inward. Shards of glass rained down like lethal hail. A long, silver-tipped arrow buried itself deep into the stone wall, exactly where Adelaide's head had been resting a moment before. "Stay down," Alistair roared. Adelaide gasped, scrambling under the heavy oak table. She watched in horror as three figures dressed entirely in black swung through the shattered window on thick ropes. Assassins. Alistair didn't reach for a sword. He let out a deafening, inhuman roar. Right before Adelaide's terrified eyes, the terrifying legends of the North materialized into reality. Alistair's bones cracked and shifted with sickening speed. His muscles expanded, tearing through his linen shirt. Coarse, midnight black fur erupted across his skin, and his jaw elongated into a terrifying muzzle filled with razor-sharp teeth. The Lycan King was real. He was an 8-foot-tall monstrosity of muscle, claw, and fury. The assassins did not falter. They drew short swords glowing with a sickly purple residue, wolfsbane. This was not a random attack. It was a highly coordinated assassination attempt. The Lycan moved with a speed that defied logic. He swatted the first assassin across the room with a sickening crunch, breaking the man's spine instantly. The second assassin thrust his poisoned blade, slashing deep across the beast's massive bicep. Alistair roared in agony, the wolfsbane searing his unnatural flesh. But his retaliation was swift. His massive jaws snapped shut around the man's throat, tossing him aside like a broken doll. The third assassin, seeing his comrades fall, pulled a small glass vial from his belt and hurled it to the floor. It shattered, releasing a thick, choking cloud of silver-laced smoke. The smoke washed over the Lycan King. Alistair collapsed, shifting violently back into his human form. He hit the stone floor hard, coughing blood, his skin burning from the silver dust in the air. The remaining assassin drew a silver dagger, stepping over the writhing king, ready to deliver the killing blow. Adelaide was terrified, paralyzed by the violence and the monster writhing on the floor. But as she looked at the dying king, she saw the arrow embedded in the wall. The assassin had aimed at her. They had used her as bait. Lord Godfrey's words echoed in her mind. This was a conspiracy. Godfrey and the Southern Lords had planned this. They wanted the king dead on his wedding night, and they didn't care if the peasant bride died with him. Adelaide made a choice that would alter the course of history. She grabbed a heavy iron fire poker from the hearth. With a desperate scream, she swung it with all her might, smashing it into the back of the assassin's skull just as he raised his silver dagger. The assassin crumpled to the floor, unconscious. The room fell deadly silent, save for the howling wind whipping through the shattered window and the ragged, wet breathing of the bleeding king. Adelaide dropped the poker, her hands shaking uncontrollably. She fell to her knees beside Alistair. His skin was pale, sweat beading on his forehead as the wolfsbane poison raced through his veins. His glowing amber eyes flickered up to meet hers, filled with shock, pain, and something akin to awe. "Why," he rasped, coughing up a spatter of dark blood, "why did you save the beast?" The heavy iron fire poker clattered against the stone floor, the sound ringing out like a death knell in the cavernous, shattered chamber. Adelaide fell to her knees beside the massive writhing form of King Alistair, the terrifying beast that had nearly torn an assassin in half just moments ago, was now reduced to a shuddering, breathless man. His skin, previously flushed with unnatural heat, was turning a sickly ashen grey. The slash across his bicep from the poisoned blade oozed a thick, unnatural black ichor, while the silver dust in the air burned his lungs with every ragged inhalation. Adelaide hesitated for a fraction of a second. Every survival instinct ingrained in her peasant upbringing screamed at her to run. The door was unlocked. The king was dying. She could flee into the harsh Northumbrian winter, but the image of the assassin's arrow aimed directly at her heart, not his, and chored her to the spot. Alistair had leaped into the line of fire. The monster had protected the maiden. Silver, Alistair gasped, his eyes rolling back. The wound burns. Adelaide's father, Arthur Mercer, was a baker, but before the crippling taxes of Lord Godfrey destroyed their livelihood, he had been an apothecary in the service of the Duke of Somerset. He had taught Adelaide the properties of herbs, poisons, and the metals of the earth. "I need water, boiling water, and clean linen," Adelaide screamed toward the open doorway, praying the royal guards were finally responding to the commotion. Heavy boots thundered down the corridor. A towering knight wearing the crest of the Northern Keep burst into the room, his sword drawn. He took in the shattered window, the dead assassins, and his king bleeding on the floor. "My lord!" The knight dropped his sword, falling to Alistair's side. He looked at Adelaide with wild, panicked eyes. "What have you done to him?" "I saved his life," Adelaide snapped, a sudden, fierce authority entering her voice that surprised even herself. "He has been poisoned with wolfsbane, and the blade was laced with silver. If we do not purge the wound, your king will die. Bring me boiling water, salt, and whatever strong spirits you possess. Now." The knight blinked, stunned by the peasant girl's command, but the desperation in her tone spurred him into action. Within minutes, the chamber was flooded with loyal servants and the king's personal physician, Lord Henry Cavendish. Together, they hauled Alistair onto the massive four-poster bed. The king was delirious, his muscles spasming violently. Cavendish, a nervous, elderly man, looked at the black veins spreading from the wound and shook his head in despair. "The wolfsbane has entered his bloodstream," Cavendish whispered, his hands trembling. "And the silver. It negates his healing. I have never seen a lichen survive such a concentrated dose." "He will not die tonight," Adelaide said fiercely. She pushed the physician aside, grabbing a bottle of clear, burning northern ale that a servant had fetched. Without warning, she poured the alcohol directly onto the open gash. Alistair roared, a terrifying, booming sound that shook the dust from the ceiling rafters. His eyes snapped open, glowing a blinding, feral amber, and his massive hand shot out, wrapping around Adelaide's throat. The guards drew their weapons, but Adelaide raised her hand, signaling them to stop. She looked directly into Alistair's furious, pain-filled eyes. She did not flinch. She did not beg. "You protected me," she whispered, her voice strained but steady against his iron grip. "Now let me protect you. Let go." For a long, agonizing moment, the beast and the baker's daughter stared at one another. Slowly, the feral glow in Alistair's eyes dimmed. His grip loosened, and his hand fell heavy against the velvet mattress. He gave a weak, shallow nod. Adelaide worked relentlessly through the darkest hours of the night. She used boiled salt water to draw the silver flakes from the torn flesh, binding the wound tightly with a poultice of crushed charcoal and bitter root to absorb the wolfsbane. As the dawn began to break, casting a pale, icy light through the shattered window, the black veins receding from Alistair's neck confirmed her success. His breathing leveled out, shifting into a deep, exhausted sleep. Adelaide collapsed into a heavy oak chair beside the bed, her extravagant midnight blue gown stained with the king's blood. Hours later, Alistair stirred. He opened his eyes, the amber now a soft golden hue in the daylight. He turned his head, finding Adelaide watching him. "You are still here," he murmured, his voice a gravelly rasp. "My father taught me never to leave a job half finished, Your Majesty," she replied, offering a weary, ironic smile. Alistair pushed himself up against the pillows, wincing as his muscles protested. He looked at the dead assassins, whose bodies had been moved to the corner of the room. "They were men of House Lancaster," Alistair said quietly, recognizing the subtle red rose insignia stitched into the lining of their black cloaks. "Sent by Lord Richard Neville. Godfrey is nothing but a pawn in his game." Adelaide frowned. "Lord Neville, the Chancellor of the Southern Realm. Why would he want you dead? And why use me as bait?" Alistair let out a bitter, humorless laugh. "Because Adelaide the Tithe is a lie." He looked at her, his expression softening into something vulnerable. "Generations ago, the southern lords discovered the vast silver mines beneath the Black Mountains," Alistair explained, his voice echoing in the quiet room. "They tried to conquer us. When they failed, they spread rumors. They painted my ancestors as mindless monsters who feasted on human flesh. They demanded a tribute of human brides to appease the public, convincing the realm that it was the only way to keep the beasts contained in the north." Adelaide felt a cold dread settle in her stomach. "If it's a lie, what happened to the brides?" "They were refugees," Alistair revealed. "Women who were targeted by the southern lords for their lands, their inheritances, or their political ties." "The keep is not a slaughterhouse, Adelaide. It is a sanctuary. We take the brides to protect them from the real monsters in the south." "But Godfrey," Adelaide stammered, trying to make sense of the tangled web of treason. "I am a peasant. I have no land. I have no wealth. Why choose me?" Alistair's gaze intensified. "Because you possess something far more dangerous than wealth. I smelled it the moment I walked into your village." He reached out, his large, calloused fingers gently brushing against her blood-stained wrist. "You carry the dormant bloodline of the old northern kings. Your mother was not a commoner, Adelaide. She was a descendant of the first Lycans. If Neville discovered your lineage, he would know you represent a legitimate claim to a united throne, a threat to his absolute power." Adelaide's mind reeled. Her mother had died of the winter fever when she was a child. Her father had always been fiercely protective, moving them from town to town before settling in the miserable poverty of Oakhaven. He was hiding her. "Godfrey handed you over to me because Neville ordered it," Alistair continued, his jaw tightening with rage. "They intended for the assassins to kill us both in this chamber. The realm would be told that the savage Lycan king slaughtered his bride on their wedding night and was put down by heroic southern soldiers. Neville would have an excuse to march his armies north, wipe out my kind, and seize the silver mines." As if on cue, the heavy oak door burst open. Lord Cavendish ran in, his face pale and slick with sweat. "Your Majesty," the physician cried. "Riders approach. An army of 5,000 men bearing the banners of House Lancaster and Lord Godfrey's crest. They are marching on Caerleon Castle." The siege horns echoed through the jagged peaks of the Black Mountains, a low, mournful wail that rattled the very stones of the northern keep. Adelaide stood on the high battlements, the freezing wind whipping her unbound hair around her face. Below, the valley was flooded with a sea of steel and crimson banners. The Southern Army had arrived, marching in tight, disciplined formations. At the front of the vanguard rode Lord Godfrey, looking arrogant and triumphant in his gleaming silver armor. Beside him was the true mastermind, Lord Richard Neville, draped in heavy furs, a cruel smile playing on his lips. They had come expecting to find a dead king and a castle in chaos. They demand an audience, the captain of the Royal Guard informed Adelaide, his voice tight with suppressed anger. They claim they have come to exact justice for the murder of the peasant bride, Adelaide Mercer. Adelaide turned to look at Alistair. The king stood in the shadows of the archway, out of sight from the army below. He was clad in his heavy dark armor once more, though his left arm was heavily bandaged beneath the steel. He was pale, but the furious predatory fire had returned to his amber eyes. "I cannot fight a 5,000-man army in my current state," Alistair admitted, his voice a low growl of frustration. "The wolfsbane has weakened the beast. If the keep falls, they will slaughter everyone inside." Adelaide looked down at her blood-stained midnight blue gown. She was no longer the terrified baker's daughter who had been dragged through the mud of Oakhaven. She carried the blood of the North. She had stared down a monster and found a king. "Then we do not fight them with swords," Adelaide said. She looked up at Alistair, her golden honey eyes blazing with a dangerous resolve. "We fight them with the truth." Before Alistair could stop her, Adelaide stepped out of the shadows and walked to the very edge of the battlements. Stepping up onto the stone parapet, so she was clearly visible to the thousands of soldiers below. A shocked murmur rippled through the Southern army. Lord Godfrey's smug smile vanished instantly, replaced by a mask of absolute horror. "What sorcery is this?" he stammered, pulling hard on his horse's reins. "She is supposed to be dead. Men of the South." Adelaide's voice rang out, clear and piercing, carrying over the roaring icy river. "You march upon these gates, seeking justice for a murdered bride. Look upon me. I am Adelaide Mercer, and I stand before you unbroken." Lord Richard Neville's face twisted into a snarl. "It is a trick of the Lycans. An illusion, archers, knock your arrows. Bring the witch down. Hold your fire," shouted a seasoned commander near the front lines, raising his hand. The men hesitated, murmuring among themselves. They were common men, conscripted from villages, just like Oakhaven. They knew the face of the baker's daughter. "Lord Neville sent assassins into the royal chambers last night," Adelaide cried out, holding up the bloodied silver dagger she had taken from the dead assassin. "He ordered the death of King Alistair, and he ordered my death to frame the North. He seeks a war built on lies to steal the silver beneath these mountains, and he intends to pay for it with your blood. Silence her," Neville shrieked, drawing his own broadsword. He spurred his horse toward the gates, desperate to maintain control. "She is bewitched. Attack the gates." But the illusion had broken. From the shadows of the battlements, King Alistair stepped forward, joining Adelaide at the edge. The sight of the towering Lycan king, alive and exuding an aura of absolute power, sent a wave of terror and awe through the southern ranks. Alistair did not speak. He didn't need to. He raised his uninjured arm, and the sky behind him seemed to darken. From the dense, snow-covered pine forests surrounding the valley, a low, terrifying chorus of howls erupted. Hundreds of massive, wolf-like figures emerged from the tree line, cutting off the Southern Army's retreat. The Lycan Pack, the true hidden strength of the Northern Keep, had surrounded them. They were a nightmare made flesh, their eyes glowing in the gloom, their jaws slavering. The Southern soldiers panicked, dropping their shields and breaking formation. They realized instantly that they were trapped between the impenetrable fortress of Caerleon and an army of supernatural beasts. "We surrender!" the human commander yelled, throwing his sword into the mud. We laid down our arms. We were deceived. Lord Godfrey, realizing his impending doom, turned his horse and tried to flee through the ranks. But a massive black lichen bounded from the forest, easily leaping over a dozen terrified soldiers, and crashed into Godfrey's horse. The corrupt lord was thrown violently into the frozen mud, screaming in terror as the beast's jaws closed around his silver breastplate, pinning him to the ground. Lord Richard Neville found himself surrounded by his own men, who quickly dragged him from his saddle, securing him with heavy chains. The battle was won without a single sword crossing. A week later, the northern keep was quiet once more. The heavy winter snows continued to fall, blanketing the jagged peaks in a peaceful, brilliant white. Adelaide stood before the newly repaired arched window in the royal chambers, looking out over the sprawling, icy domain. She wore a gown of rich, forest green velvet, a heavy silver circlet resting elegantly upon her dark hair. The heavy door opened, and Alistair entered. He moved with his usual predatory grace, though the bandage on his arm remained. He walked up behind her, wrapping his massive arms around her waist, pulling her back against the solid warmth of his chest. "Lord Neville has been escorted to the capital to face the High Tribunal for his treason," Alistair murmured, his chin resting on the top of her head. "And Godfrey, well, he will spend the rest of his miserable life in the deepest dungeons of the keep." Adelaide leaned back against him, closing her eyes. "And what of the tithe?" "Abolished," Alistair said firmly. "The North will no longer hide behind shadows and rumors. We will open our borders. We will trade our silver freely. And the realm will know that the Lycan King does not feast on terrified maidens." He turned her in his arms, his amber eyes locking onto hers. The feral intensity was still there, but it was tempered with a profound, earth-shattering devotion. "They will know," Alistair whispered, his voice vibrating with raw emotion, "that the Lycan King bows only to his queen." He leaned down, his lips capturing hers in a kiss that was fiercely possessive and endlessly tender. It tasted of pine, wood smoke, and a promise that would last a thousand lifetimes. The beast had found his match, and the poor bride had found her kingdom. "What an epic conclusion to your mine tonight." From a terrifying sacrifice to a powerful queen, Adelaide's journey proves that the greatest monsters are often the men hiding in plain sight. Did you see that massive plot twist coming? If you love this dramatic werewolf romance and want more thrilling, real-life inspired fantasy stories, hit that like button, share this video with your friends, and subscribe to our channel right now. See you in the next adventure.